Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 19, we'll read verses 28 through 40. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1497. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 19:28. When Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite ye, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, and bring it here. And if anyone ask you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, and found it just as Jesus had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. As Jesus went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as Jesus was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. When did you first realize that you have power? It came with that first cry that brought a response. God's little devotional book for moms has this statement. A perfect example of minority rule is a baby in the house. Significant in our lives is not that we have power, but how we use that power and for what purpose. Other than letting it be known in Jesus' hometown synagogue at the beginning of his ministry that he had come as God's anointed one, it would seem that throughout most of Jesus' ministry, he tried to keep it quiet that he was the Messiah. When he announces it publicly, he does it with a parade. Jerusalem is 2,500 feet above sea level at the crest of a mountain ridge, so one goes up to Jerusalem. At one point, the Mount of Olives, which is across the Kidron Valley east of Jerusalem, rises even 100 feet higher. Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village of Bethphage, a village near Bethany, and he said, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. It happened just as Jesus said. The owners of the young donkey asked the disciples, Why are you loosing the colt? They said, The Lord has need of him. Oh, that we would that easily and quickly, when the Lord has some need of ours, if we would that easily give it. They brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their clothes on the colt and sat Jesus on the donkey colt. As Jesus slowly drew near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the multitude caught the significance of this moment. Jews poured into Jerusalem for Passover. Based on a census taken 10 years after the time of Jesus, it's estimated that there could have been over 2 million people. On the day of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, some of the multitude laid their garments on the road, others cut palm branches, which are symbolic of salvation and joy, and they laid them in the road, and still others waved the branches in the air. With one voice, they praised God as they sang out from Psalm 118, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. While it may seem that Jesus threw together a spontaneous one-man parade, it is significant that it met the purpose of the Father and it fulfilled the writing of the prophet Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Just like in our day, not everyone sees the mighty works of God as we do. Not everyone recognizes the Savior to whom we draw attention. Not all of the crowd was pleased with this loud, spontaneous outburst. When my granddaughter Alexa was not quite three, her mother took her to a circus parade. As soon as they got back in the car with the doors shut, she exclaimed, That was so scary. The elephants were scary. The clowns were even scary. Apparently, she was not a circus parade kind of kid. Well, the Pharisees were not in favor of this parade. I'm sure to their ears, this was blasphemy. They were not willing to accept Jesus as their Messiah. They were also concerned that such a mob-like frenzy would attract the attention of the Roman soldiers, who were already on alert to watch for any disturbances with the Jews coming into town for Passover. Added to the cry of the crowd was a shout of the Pharisees, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk warns about coveting evil gain for one's own house. He suggests that in such a situation, the stone will cry out from the wall and the beam from the timbers will answer it. The prophet Habakkuk and Jesus are suggesting to us that there is a truth that will not have its mouth stopped, a truth about God and life and humanity, the truth about Christ, such as the truth of the Bible itself. Think about how often it has been rejected, ridiculed, banned, and burned, yet it continues to be the book with words which speak on. The prophet Isaiah anticipates a day in which you shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Creation that we think has no voice worships God. Greek philosopher Pythagoras said, "A stone is frozen music." In Pennsylvania and other places, there's a phenomenon of singing stones. When thrown or struck, rather than a thud, they ping or ring. Think of tapping like a ceramic cup. There are desert locations that have singing sands. The vibrations might be initiated by wind or someone or something walking on the sand. It causes a slide or a shift. While it was puzzling at first to scientists that there was multiple sounds with different ranges being created at the same time. Some were the low bass sounds, while others had a range of 9 different notes. Researchers determined that the different size and shapes of sand grains produce different sounds, similar to air being pushed through our vocal cords. One mystery not resolved is why these supposedly inanimate, silent, tiny, hard granules synchronize with each other as if creating harmony. Praise for the King of the universe will be like shifting sand. It'll go from harmony on Sunday to dissonance on Friday. Shouts of glory will become shouts of crucify. One thing that we often have to forgive others for is when they're not the people we want them to be. Jesus was not the Messiah, the King, that people expected or wanted. Jesus was too liberal for the Pharisees when it came to his interpretation of the law, and he was too conservative for the zealots who wanted to overthrow the Romans. He was too political for the Essenes who withdrew from society, but not political enough for the Sadducees who wanted to appease the ruling government and keep their place in it. Overall, those who had even a small place of power within the current system or among certain people didn't want to lose it. In their minds, this man, Jesus, needs to go. In his book, Stand Up and Praise to God, Paul Rees writes, "In the history of the Great Wall of China, there's a parable of life that you and I might take well to heart. The wall was built for reasons of security. It costs a gigantic sum in money, time, and labor. Behind the completed barrier, the Chinese people felt secure. Yet in the first few years after it was finished, it was breached 3 times by the enemy. The thing to note is this. It was breached not by crashing the wall, but by bribing the gatekeepers. It was the human factor that failed. The wall failed to work only because the men who guarded it failed. The material massiveness was not insufficient, but it needed moral character to support it. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas betrayed Jesus. Fearful disciples abandoned Jesus. Doubtful Peter denied. Disillusioned people shouted, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' So with just the right amount of propaganda and greasing of palms, the praise of humans turned to protest. The February-March 2025 guidepost has the following quote from Christian author Lisa Turkest. Don't let people's compliments go to your head, and don't let their criticisms go to your heart. Jesus gave himself as a sacrificial lamb for the failure of humanity. Power is at its best when it's used for others. Jesus was not at that time intended to come in earthly splendor or to reign in earthly power. He did not come in wealth, but he came in poverty. He did not come in grandeur, but in meekness, and he did not come to slay Israel's enemies, but to save all humankind. The incarnation was the time of his humiliation, not the time of his glorification. Do not lose faith. The time of his glorification is coming. He will return as King of all heaven and earth. The great evangelist Billy Graham is quoted as saying, "The end will come with the return of Christ." That is why a Christian can be an optimist. That is why a Christian can smile in the midst of all that is happening. We know what the end will be, the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus talked to his disciples about his death and rising from the dead, he talked about his return. This time he will be coming with power, manifested in great glory. In Matthew 24:30, we read Jesus' words, "The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect, his chosen ones, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the earth. But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." After Jesus' death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead, he appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. We read about this in the first chapter of Acts. And Jesus said, "Wait for the promise of the Father. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And they questioned Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." The same Jesus will come back. He'll not be meek and lowly, riding on a donkey, but riding a white horse. Revelation 19:11 describes it this way, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And on his head were many crowns, and he had on his robe and on his thigh a name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Jesus' disciple John, who it is believed wrote the book of Revelation, ends it this way, "Jesus, who testifies to these things, says, surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. We join with other voices as we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen.